presentation, and we talked about the transition, I'll put it right over here. These are some frequently asked questions and also an outline of some of the stuff that's going to be presented this morning. I know that there might be some here who are.
I know there might be some here who are perhaps fairly new or visiting with us today, and we're so glad you're here. I kind of want to tell you what's going on. As I've shared before on Sundays, on several Sundays, that we're at church right now asking some hard questions. If you're here today, and you've really been asking God, how can I make an influence? How can I make an impact? I think it's absolutely providential that you're here, because you're going to be able to hear a church talk about some difficult things. We're a church in transition. We're a church that's asking questions. God, what do you want us to be? What kind of changes might you want us to make? And we have been sharing over the past quite some time about some of those changes. We've had a leadership group meeting for several years, just thinking and praying and discussing and looking at Scripture and reading other sources. And we've come up with what the leadership has recommendation, what they feel like God is recommending our church to do. We've had a couple of weeks into this. I gave an overview the first Sunday of June, June 10th. We talked about the new name as a part of the new wineskin, of which the new wine is going to come, the new name, Grace Journey Community Church, a Southern Baptist Fellowship. And this morning, we're going to try to fill in some of the overview that we went over a couple of weeks ago, or on the first Sunday of June. While the whole Ministry Leadership Council is involved in this, there are going to be three primary presenters. It's going to be Tracy Pratt, Sarita Carter, and Dale Wood. And they'll be coming up one at a time. And we're going to have some singing intermixed during this time. But I shared several years ago about a situation that happened to me when I was at a conference. I was at a conference. It was put on by the Florida Baptist Convention, and there was a man there who was employed by the Florida Baptist Convention, and he was speaking about when he was out in the Midwest, and he was leading another conference out in the Midwest. And they had a free time one afternoon. And in this free time, there's some people asked him if he wanted to go and tour the only thing that was around to tour there. And that was a paper mill. Far cry from Disney, but hey, you know, it was the only thing that was around. So he said, sure, I'll go. And what he said to us as we were in conference, he says, you know, who would have thought that at a paper mill, God was going to speak to me in such a profound way? But he went to this paper mill, and the guy that was doing the tour started out with those big logs we've all seen on trucks, you know, and things like that. And this is what the tour guide said. He said, this is the raw material. And said, okay. And then they would go along, and he'd kind of tell what would happen, and a little bit to that raw material, and he'd get to a spot, and he would say, now, in this spot right here, at this station, at this location, this is what happens to that raw material, and he would tell what happens to those logs, and he took them for a tour a little bit longer in this big, huge paper mill, and he got to another location, the tour guide did, and he says, now, right here, this location, this is what happens to that raw material. And he did this about three or four times, and he got to the end of the tour of this thing, and there was those big rolls of paper, and the tour guide says, and here is the finished product. And at that moment, Ken Westbrook, who was the conference leader, said God spoke to him and asked him a very simple question. He said, can your churches do that? Can your churches identify what is raw material, and do your churches have a process where they can take that raw material whereby somebody becomes what we determine is the reason why we exist. Somebody becomes a disciple. And Ken Westbrook, with a heavy heart, had to tell God, God, I'm not sure I can identify more than just one or two churches that can do that. Now, folks, we have determined and agreed and have said that we understand why we exist. So on the front of your bulletin, it's more and more going to be appearing in different official publications and things like that of our church website. We exist. Why do we? Can somebody tell me why we exist? We exist. Why do we exist?
To make little Christ.
To make little Christ or to make disciples of Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. We exist to make disciples of Jesus. And that is the why of our church. It's taken from C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity, one of the most influential Christian books of the last century, where Lewis says the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you'll know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. That's why we exist. We have determined that. And what the leadership has been doing over the last several years has been just saying and asking the Lord, God, how can we do that better? And one of the things that I guess I'm most grateful for and most proudest of our leadership group is that they have come together and they have said, we are going to set aside our own personal whims, our own personal favorites, our own personal agendas, and we are trying to, as much as possible, as much as humanly possible, come before God with a blank slate and say, God, lead us, guide us. And the leadership, the Ministry Leadership Council of our church, believe that he has. That's why they're making these recommendations. We have come up with a process. And I think we can identify that process. Christy, I'm afraid of the clicker. I'm gonna do that. Go to the next slide. We talked about the what of our church. And the what of our church, the disciples in our church are becoming. Can somebody help me? They're becoming what? People of faith, people of hope, and people of love. That's what we're saying. A disciple is. That's what we're saying that a disciple. Now, we understand that word becoming is crucial, that people are always in the stage or always in the becoming stage. We never arrive. It's never like that paper mill where they can say, this is the final finished product. Now, we recognize that there is a sense in which we are always becoming like Jesus, that on the day we die, we are still in that process of becoming. But that is the what of our church. People of faith, people of hope, people of love. And so, in this process, we have talked about the how of our church. And I kind of want you just to look at this, go over this again to kind of set up what's going to be. People in our church are becoming mature disciples. We said this by experiencing the faith, by enjoying the hope, and expressing the love. Okay. Now, in that overview, in that how of our church, we have defined and identified, all right, we have three primary programs, if you will, things that happen, events, three pre-primary experiences that somebody goes through that we have identified. You saw in your bulletin about the book Simple Church. Some of you have read it. If you haven't, you can pick up a copy of the church in the church office. It has greatly influenced and has been a tremendous guide for the leadership council as we have read through it. This is our simple process. Now, simple doesn't mean easy. That's why it's taken quite a long time. But simple means people of faith, people of hope, people of experiencing the faith, enjoying the hope, expressing the love. And let me just go through this process real quick, okay? And if we talked about what's going to happen in this process, okay, the first thing is faith. And you see all the arrows coming in. Those represent people that are coming to the worship event. That's what's going on right now. And we've defined experiencing faith as participating in God's eternal story through the word and personal expression. That's what happens when we come together on a Sunday morning. We participate in God's eternal story, not our story, not the story of our church, but the story, God's story. And our church becomes a part of God's story. As I've said over and over and over again, God's not going to help us tell our story, but he is going to pour himself into us if we commit ourselves to telling his story. And when we realize that our story is a part of his story. And so the worship event is a whole lot. It's all about looking upward. That's what happens when we come together. We look upward. So experiencing the faith. Okay, we move from experiencing the faith, and we saw all those individuals. You see the red arrows? Those are representing people who are not members or maybe not even believers. We go from looking upward, we go from experiencing the faith, we go to enjoying the hope. And if experiencing the faith is worship, enjoying the hope then is small groups. All right, so let's go to that next slide. And those are small groups. You see the small groups? We're not saying we're going to have just five small groups, but those are representing the small groups. We've identified and defined enjoying the hope as growing confidence in the unseen reality that is ours in Christ. So understand, somebody comes into the life of the church through the worship experience. Now, that's not the only way they're going to come in, but that's the designated entry point that a ministry leadership council has determined. So they come in through experiencing the faith, and then they go from there, from faith, they go from worship into small groups. And the small groups, if a worship is looking upward, enjoying the hope, then is looking inward. That's the small group. And so you see the one group arrow, one circle there with just red arrows. That's like a new members class or a new believers class. That'll be part of the small groups. And then we move from enjoying the hope then to expressing the love. And so those same arrows, those same people move from looking inward, from enjoying the hope, to expressing the love, and that is ministry. And ministry is all about looking outward. And we have defined expressing the love as emulating God's selfless nature as we relate with our church, community, and world. And that's ministry. So there is the process. The simple process that we say, how do we make disciples? Experiencing the faith, enjoying the hope, and expressing the love. People come into the life of the church. And we're talking about on down the road, you know, we're looking years down the road. People come into the church through the worship event. They go into small groups where they begin to look inward, and God continues his work of transformation. And then they move outward, expressing the love out into the community and into the world, emulating God's selfless nature as they relate with our church, community, and world. What's going to be done? That's the overview very, very quickly that we went over several weeks ago. What's going to happen the rest of this morning is that the presenters, we're going to have a presenter for experiencing the faith, we're going to have experience for enjoying the hope, and we're going to have a presenter for expressing the love to kind of give you some added detail so that you have the opportunity to know exactly what we're talking about and what it's going to mean. Because next Sunday we're going to have the Constitution and Bylaws. The 8th of July we have in the evening we have a discussion. July 11th we have a discussion. And then July 15th we come together as a church after the morning worship service to vote whether to adopt all the one recommendation, which includes all of this, from the Ministry Leadership Council. So before Tracy comes up, what I want to do and present the first segment of this and express and experiencing the faith, I'd like just to bow our heads and I want to just go to the Lord in prayer and as Tracy comes forward. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to think, Lord, today about what it means to be your church here in the 21st century. We thank you, God, for and this culture. And we pray that as God, we have a chance to listen, that you would give us hearts to hear, that you would be with Tracy and Sarita and Dale as they present. And God, that you would just speak into our lives and into our hearts about what it is that you're doing and what it is that you, God, are calling us to do and to be here in this location as your church. So God, we thank you, we praise you, and we just ask that your spirit might rest upon each one, and God, that you might minister today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank
you. Right or left? The Grace Journey. We already have been talking about the name of the church being changed to Grace Journey Community Church because we are on a grace journey. Doesn't matter what denomination we're in, we are all on a grace journey. And the grace journey begins at the throne of God. It always began at the throne of God. We are created to be image bearers. We are created to be glorify God and to worship him forever. It continues from the throne of God. When we become a believer, regardless of what our denomination is, he is transforming us. He is transforming our will from my way to His way. And the grace journey ends around His throne forever. I'd like you to read with me this slide right here and the next slide. Let's do it together. Day and night, the four living creatures never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." You know, the 24 elders are going to say that in the future, and the four living creatures, but we say it now. We, on a Sunday morning, all over the world, people are gathering together, and they are coming together around the throne, acknowledging who God is and what His purpose is. The vision for the worship ministries at this particular part of the church is this: we facilitate the experience of faith on the grace journey. It happens when we come together to worship, as well as in personal worship through the week. That experience of faith is something that is a reality. It's not our personal faith. It is the faith. It is the faith of what we just declared with our mouths from Revelation chapter 4. Who we worship and why we worship is always at the heart of becoming a little Christ. We're not talking about Christ who is now sitting on the throne. Actually, that's what we want. We want to be on the throne. But to become a little Christ means the humility and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. Worship celebrates God and His story. In fact, in our singing already, we have celebrated. And we have used our hands and our mouths. We have heard the word in song. We have just spoken the word. And there's meditation. I don't know about you, but when Carlos was playing the guitar and how quiet it was during the offering, that really, it was just so quiet and so meditative to be able to come to God personally in prayer. And our offering, you know, we do it by passing the plate, but that is an activity of worship, our posture of prayer and of praise. We celebrate God in the timeless and ageless ways He describes in His written story. Now, our methods and styles might be different through the ages, but I want you to look at all those verbs: look, give, make known, cry, sing, ascribe, seek, bring, tell, remember. Now I want you to look at this. In fact, let's read this together. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. You know, this is the very, very last chapter of the written story of God. And this is what we are doing every Sunday. We are doing this along with the Spirit. We do not know where people are with God. We don't know if they are still searching on the grace journey and unwilling yet to dive into the grace journey. Or maybe it's somebody who has been on the grace journey for a long time, but they're doubting. And maybe it's somebody who is very young physically, or old. But that's what we're doing, is we are part of the bride, and in conjunction with the Spirit, we are saying, come. Enter the throne room, come close. The invitation begins before worship. I want you to notice the physical changes in the chapel. Now, sure, it's important to update. But in this place where we are, this place right here is for a primary purpose. When we congregate together like this, this is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is for all of us to come to the throne. These people up here, they're coming too. The people in the sound room, they're coming too. This place right here, the changes, the quieter, not that it was planned. This was not planned by the people who picked the paint, but I just want you to think of something. I want you to think about God with us, God coming down. When we think about God in heaven, we think about white, we think about pure, we think about perfect. But think about the Son of Man. Think about God with us. He became like us. We were made from the dust of the ground. And so, this is God with us. This is a reminder of God with us. An environment for quiet to create a space to listen. You know, we come from outside doing this. In here, as well as here, going back and forth. When we come in here, we don't have a lot of room like other churches where there's a lobby where people can do their, you know, their chatter. And so there's, you know, just from going outside to coming inside is very, very quick. And so one thing that we're recommending as the Experience in the Faith team is that before the worship time, that there is a slide presentation maybe playing with scripture, with music, and that that this place is a place of quiet in order for people to prepare. And then the invitation continues during the worship. Active participation in the offering. If you bring is an active word. Now we do bring, but you know, in the scripture it talks about offering as being an act of worship, of participating. Sometimes we might do that by reading scripture, or sometimes we might do it by actively bringing our offerings forward. We've done that here. But the key word is active. Worship is active. Active participation in the word. We've done that today. And we are wanting to intentionally do that more. Visuals illustrate the word and worship. Christy, I know, worships when she prepares the PowerPoint. I know that when people are practicing, that's part of their worship. That is who we are. We are made to worship. Even before we come in here and we prepare for during the worship. The whole point of using technology, which we didn't have 10 years ago in the 21st century, in worship is to draw people into a deeper encounter with God. When people are talking about the technology rather than God, who is the object of our affection, we have missed the mark. One of the pitfalls of technology in worship is losing sight of the fact worship is first and foremost a human experience with God. Now, I don't know if you all noticed over the past months that Bill Bishop and others have worked very, very hard to do some cleaning up here so that there is little distraction, visual distraction up here for your worship and for theirs as well. It's important. It's important for technology to, for us to participate in the technology of the 21st century because in our culture, it is very, very much ingrained. And to not have technology would be a distraction in our culture. Now, if you'd go to a third world country, it would be a grave distraction probably to have technology. But for us in the 21st century, especially for young people who are the next generation, technology is an integral part. And so that's one reason why we are focusing on technology. Worship beyond Sunday. The invitation continues during the week. One way, again, technology. Now, I know personally that Coleman and the computer are not really compatible. If he had his druthers. But one thing that the Experiencing the Faith team are recommending is that possibly he have a blog. Not for social, this is what I had for coffee this morning, or breakfast this morning, but to facilitate worship beyond Sunday. Facebook page, again, this could be a platform for self-centeredness, or it could be a platform for God-centeredness. A Google presence. Now, you know, I may be speaking a foreign language to some of you, Google, Facebook, but I'm telling you, this is a key to evangelism. These are worldwide tools. What happens here on Sunday morning can reach somebody in China. Somebody could Facebook us from Sweden. In fact, Coleman got an email from a pastor in England because the sermons were on podcast, and he happened to Google some words, and up popped our website. Enhance and expand the CD ministry. We have a wonderful CD ministry. Do you all know that? It can be expanded. It could be where series are put together, and they could be put in our resource center, which I'm about to speak about. Hospitality facilitates worship. The come enter the throne room begins with come. Now, I have a little challenge for you all right? And that is, when somebody comes to our parking lot for the first time, do they know where to go? Do they know? Is it easy to find the entrance to our worship center, to our worship? Those of you who are new or fairly new, did you have a little trouble with that? What Where do I go? The minute somebody drives onto the parking lot, we ought to be there. We ought to be there. One thing that the ministry of the Experiencing Faith leadership is recommending is that we have a person in the parking lot at all times, not just for security, but for hospitality. And not only that, we've recommended that possibly there be an open, what do you call those things?
Gazebo.
Thank you. A gazebo where our entrance is, so people would know this is the way to go. Not only that, with the most common place that people go is in these education buildings right there. And that we recommend to be a place where somebody is at all time primed to welcome people and direct people. Next is, where do I get information? Where do I get information? One thing that we are recommending is that our greeters would be primed, would be trained to answer that kind of question. And not only that, there would be a place that I'll refer to later where people can go for information. What is my next step? Where do I want to go after going to worship? What do I do? These are things that we as the worship team recommend that we be a part of in directing people. Hospitality during worship. Expanding the greeting ministry. When we expand the greeting ministry, we're talking about, like I said, out here in the parking lot, we're talking about expanding it in a sense of how many of you can say, hi, how are you? Welcome. How many of you can do that? Oh, whoa. Yes, expand it. Any one of us, couples, college students. Welcome time will be streamlined. The purpose of welcome is to welcome people, to welcome them into worship. And we move and continue in worship. The length of service will be evaluated. There's not just people here worshiping. We have munchkins back there worshiping. Little ones. Designated seating for people who come in late. Intentional about providing for others in the back. Hospitality after the worship service. A welcome resource center, a specific place for people to go where they can meet elders, ministry leaders, hope group leaders, as well as find out information about hope groups and ministries. Again, expanding the greeting ministry, meaning training people to think beyond just greeting right here, but greeting and leading after the worship service. Intentional transition to hope groups. Just as Coleman spoke about, the story of the making of the paper, the importance is that we don't just stay here, but we are intentionally moving people. All of us are intentionally moving people into becoming mature disciples of Jesus. When we relaunch Only Ministries that facilitate children, youth, and adult will be in place. Only Ministries. Worship ministries will be prioritized. Right now, there are about 7 or 8 different worship ministries tied to worship ministries. And there are about 88 positions. I want you to look around you. 88 positions in a month. Now, 22 a week, that doesn't sound bad, but when you have less than 66% of the people willing to participate in worship ministries, That's too many. Worship ministries will be staffed in order of priority. What are the most important parts to facilitate experiencing the faith? Shape class will guide the staffing of each worship ministry, and Dale will be referring to the shape class in a little bit. Training a number of volunteer staff to define what a worship ministry will offer. I'll give you an example. Children, as I said, are in worship with us. They're required to have two adults, not adult and a child, but an adult and somebody who's 18 and older. And let's say, for instance, we have somebody, we don't have anybody scheduled on the fifth Sunday for children's worship during grade school. They will be participating with us. We will not be running around looking for somebody to plug a hole. If people are not there, we will not be having it. All worship ministries will intentionally support one another in facilitating all ages experiencing the faith. We are one. We may have eight different ministries, but we are one. And because of that, it's very important that there be a worship coordinator who keeps the two common visions in view, the one that is directing the church and also the one that directs the worship ministries. Also, a worship coordinator ministers to leaders in worship ministries. I mentioned to you that people are worshiping. It's sometimes hard to remember that. They are not just serving, they are worshiping. And not only that, they need to be in here. And everybody here that is serving needs the opportunity to be sitting and receiving. Coordinates and communicates with worship leader. Carlos has a very, very important leadership responsibility to lead us and the worship ministries under him. But it's very important for the worship coordinator to be working in conjunction with him. Leaders of worship ministries as well. We are not islands. We are one, moving in the same direction. And worship is working in coordination with hope and also working in coordination with the ministries.
All right, now that's experiencing the faith. I think we're going to have just a song, and then Sarita will be coming to talk about small groups, enjoying the hope. So Carlos, lead us in this song, if you would.
Let's all stand and have this song.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious truth, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Man with me.
You are my strength when I am
weak.
You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious
Lamb,
not to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Shame,
Lamb of God,
your
worthy
you are my
is your name, Jesus.
When I fall down, you pick me
Lamb
up.
Lamb of God,
you are my God.
Worthy
you are my
is your name,
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
All right, Sarita. Tracy had experience in the faith, some of the things in worship. Now Sarita here is going to be talking about our hope groups, our small groups.
Enjoying the hope. This is the growing confidence in the unseen reality that is ours in Christ. The reason we feel this ministry is important to our church is based on Jesus' example of a small group, as evidenced in Matthew 5:1-2. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them. Also, with unity in faith and of the knowledge, Ephesians 4:13, till we come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is also growth through teaching, mentoring, and relationships. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. All of these, we believe, bring evidence to the reason for what we call hope groups, our small groups, hope groups. Hope groups will be an integral part of our church. Sustained life change happens best when we prioritize relationship with others who are also growing in a relationship with Christ. Hope groups will provide the opportunity to connect with others, grow in relationship with Christ, experience community, Jesus modeled unity and discipleship. Therefore, we will be intentional about moving people from place to place within our church community to grow and learn from the whole body and to build unity. In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul taught that some plant seeds, others water them, but God makes them grow. Our leaders will play a pivotal role in helping us to achieve our mission to make disciples of Christ. And our vision for this ministry is that to make disciples of Christ by cooperating with the Holy Spirit and moving people from experience the faith, which is worship, through enjoying the hope, which is small groups or hope groups, into expressing the love in ministries. And why hope groups? Hope groups support our mission to make disciples of Christ. Hope groups are conducive to the development of authentic community. Hope groups will decentralize leadership. It will allow for more leadership responsibility so that it's not all resting on one, but our leaders can all take a more, it can just be spread out through more leadership. Hope groups will offer maximum flexibility. Home hope groups will allow us to be good stewards of our resources and remove primary limits to growth. Therefore, if there's not enough room within the church building, we can be out into the communities and homes. Home hope groups will enable people, more people, to serve on Sunday mornings. Therefore, if you're serving, if your hope group is at home within the week and not necessarily on Sunday, that means we will be available to worship, help worship on Sunday mornings. Hope groups are the optimal environment for sustained life change. Our implementation plan. We will identify a hope group coordinator, which will be identified by the SHAPE profile, which of course Dale again will be speaking more upon in a few minutes. We'll have training and development for every hope group facilitator. This will also be overseen by the hope group coordinator, who will also do scheduling and approving any of our curriculum. We will enlist and lead the first generation of hope group facilitators. We're going to call them the Genesis Group. The Genesis Group will be trained to be our first hope group facilitator. So in essence, they will be our very first small hope group. And they will be teaching by example what an effective facilitator does, which is modeling. And basically what this will also mean is that within, by teaching and leading, facilitating hope groups, this will enable us to identify other people who can step up and lead a hope group in the future. We're planning on growth. We don't want to just stick with however many hope groups we start with. We want to multiply. And to do that, we will need people within the hope groups to be able to step up, and someone will, you know, that has that call to be a facilitator and start a new hope group. Then, of course, we will set the Genesis Group free to lead their own hope groups. Facilitators will be encouraged to take at least one semester off per year. This is to avoid the burnout sometimes we have when people tend to do something forever and ever and don't get fed themselves. There'll be training and development of hope group host. This is different from a hope group facilitator. Each hope group will have a host, and their little job description will be a little slightly different than a hope group facilitator. Every host will receive training, and each hope group will have its own host. Hope group guidelines, they will be limited to a maximum of 12 people. This is to encourage growth within the hope group. Hope groups will be held at the church or a host home and not necessarily the facilitator's home. So if you'd like to be a facilitator and you think, oh, my home's too small, don't worry, we'll get that covered. They'll be offered in semesters of 12 weeks. and we hope to have at least one church-wide hope group annually. Hope groups will be topic-driven and not determined by age or gender. There will be a new members and a new believers classes to be held periodically as needed. And we will also have what we will call a new journey group. And this one will run throughout the year. It is the group to join until the start of a new semester. So if someone new comes into our church and our hope groups have already started, there will be a place for them to go when they don't have to wait until another semester starts up. This one will be easier to transition in and out of, and it's a temporary group. It's not an actual planted hope group. It's really for transitional and for new people.
Okay, expressing the love ministries. This is the third step in our discipleship process. And we have defined it as emulating God's selfless nature as we relate with our church, community, and world for the purpose of making disciples. Every member will be considered a minister. In other words, a servant for God. So what does this look like as we relate to people? Okay. Christy. Philippians 2:1-4 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. So we want to raise up people that God has in mind, and we want to walk in the good works God has already planned. Whether we know it or not, God already has a plan for each of us. And we want to identify what kind of people versus what kind of ministry. So as an individual or even as a group, I or we are not seeking for a ministry that I want our church to do, but rather using the strengths and abilities God has already given us to do his good works. And so how do we raise up people that God has in mind? By guiding people to seek and discover their gift. And how do we walk in the good works God has already created? By guiding people to recognize their call. And how do we identify what kind of people versus what kind of ministry? This will be by equipping them to walk passionately. So, ways to discover, recognize, and equip. We will have the SHAPE class and ministry training or classes, both of which I will discuss in a moment. And then the opportunities to minister. Again, beginning just with worship. Some might include hospitality, such as ushers or greeters, security, the music, the audiovisual, or children's worship. And so what is SHAPE? SHAPE is a tool for discovering, where's that? For discovering our spiritual gifts, our heart. Christy, can you help me out? our ability, our personality, and our experience. And this is all for the purpose of ministry. Okay. Next slide. So besides discovering the shape of individuals, this tool will also allow us to discover the shape of our church, which is basically a summary of how the members are gifted collectively. And it is the expectation that every member attend this class prior to serving. So prior to the relaunch, every member will take the SHAPE class, and we will also compile data from the SHAPE class. We will identify worship and ministry coordinators. We will identify worship ministry leaders. There will be training for worship leaders and ministers, both general and specialized training. And we will ensure all worship ministries are fully staffed and resourced. So in our ministry class, or training, there will be a broad overview on how and what it means to minister, and there will be specialized training for each ministry, so that if you wanted to get into the sound room back there and work back there, that you would be trained on that. In our ministries process, there are three steps in which we will add ministries. In the first step, the ministries facilitating the worship will be available at the relaunch. In the second step, ministries facilitating the hope groups will be added. And in the third step, additional ministries will be determined by the shape of our church. We will have one coordinator for each of the three steps in our discipleship process: the worship, hope group, and ministry coordinators. They will all work with their respective teams to ensure alignment with the vision of our church and to coordinate with other areas of our discipleship process. And so after the relaunch, the ministry coordinator and ministry team will oversee the ministries. The ministry team, along with the ministry and hope group coordinators, we'll begin planning for hope group ministries. And then, of course, we will continue planning for future ministries. Okay. Coleman. So,
yeah. I want to just talk for a moment. We're going to have a closing song, but I know this is a really different type of Sunday morning event this morning, but I just want you to know that 15 or 16 of you all have been working from within our church, have been working for the past several years rethinking our church. And I've said over and over again in sermons about that this relaunch is really talking about it's a radical step. It's talking about relaunching, really being a new church. I think maybe you got a little bit of that this morning. But there was really no other way that we could communicate all of this to the broadest representative body except on a Sunday morning. So that's why we're doing this. Next Sunday morning will be an opportunity. We'll have a much shorter worship service. And then at the conclusion, we'll have the remainder of our normal time together, where you'll be hearing about the new constitution and bylaws. If you're sitting there going, "Wow, this is like really different," I hope that's what you're going. I hope that there is a sense, if there's not a sense in you going, this is really different, or this is really radical, you probably haven't understood everything that's been said. But it's really, I mean, folks, the call of God on our lives is radical. I mean, how more radical can you be that unless you deny yourself daily, you cannot be my disciple? I mean, that's pretty radical. How much more radical can it be than unless you hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, you cannot be my disciple, or even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14. That's radical. How much more radical than it can be than it says, if you want to live, you've got to die. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. You know, if you really want to be happy, you've got to be poor in spirit. And I mean, if Jesus was anything, he was radical. Over here is the entire presentation from this morning. Not all the logos, but not all the PowerPoint illustrations, but all the wording. So you can pick these up, so you can go over those. In the little basket over here, that's what we call, you know, FAQs, some questions that you may have, put in a little booklet form that you can take as well. It is our desire, and I mean church-wide, to be a church that brings pleasure to the heart of God. To be able to say, God, we're trying to think deeply and carefully and slowly and follow through on trying to be the kind of church that better utilizes its resources, and by that I mean its people, in order to try to make disciples of yours. And there's nothing wrong, in fact, there's everything right with a church taking a step back like we have done and say, you know, maybe we need to change some things. In fact, a leading business guru in our country, who is also a Christian, says that the two most important questions that an organization, including a church, can ask themselves is this: what's your business? How's business? What's our business? To make disciples. How's business? Well, I'm the pastor of the church, and I want to tell you, it could be better. It could be better. We could do a better job of making little Christ. We could do a better job of making disciples. But you want to know something? It's going to take all of us. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and elsewhere. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us saying, we're going to, just like those that founded this church, we're going to set aside personal agendas, and we're going to make whatever sacrifices necessary, pay whatever price necessary, in order to utilize all the resources in order to do a better job of being the church God's called us to be in the 21st century at this location. And I am scared and I am excited. And the invitation of the MLC is, let's go. Again, the vote will be July 15th. We'll have discussions on the 8th and 11th. The vote's July 15th. If the vote's affirmative, the MLC has set up that the remainder of the rest of this year is going to be doing a lot of work behind the scenes, what it takes to change the names and all that sort of thing, getting logos and putting up websites and different things like that. And then we'll use the month of January to kind of say goodbye to First Baptist Church of Union Park and relaunch on the first Sunday of February, which is February 3rd. So that's kind of the long-range plan. So it's really crazy. And I'm glad to be walking with a crazy God. I mean, how much more crazy can it be than to get out of a boat and walk on water? That's pretty crazy. That's the kind of God we serve. He says, come on. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to close this worship service, but listen, as we close and Carlos and the team leads us, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to have the I want to have, if they're able to, and some of the Ministry Leadership Council to come down and stand down front. And maybe you want to come pray with them. And or maybe you want to come pray with them with our church, or for our church. As we close together today, you can just grab the hand of one of these in our Ministry Leadership Council, and you can pray with them. And you can even do that with my dad, too, because he's down here. That's good. All right, let's join together.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Amazing love,
amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amazing love, how can that you, my King, would die for me.
Amazing love,
amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Let's join the MLC by joining hands across the way as we close today. And as we do, I remind you to pick up documents here and remember Ralph's funeral tomorrow evening at 7 here in our chapel. Father in heaven, in the mighty and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made the radical step of stepping out of heaven and coming into this earth, to live a life of humility and submission and surrender in order that we might be forgiven and know the reality of eternal life and to know your love. I thank you, Lord, personally for, Lord, this church that was willing to say to themselves and to you, we can do better. We need to rethink what it means to be God's church here, to ask hard questions, to listen to one another, to work through conflict, and to come to a place where they say, Lord, we're ready to listen. I thank you for the Ministry Leadership Council. I thank you for their hard work, for their prayers, for their sacrifice, for their laughter, for their tears, for their, Lord, their heart. And I just pray that, Lord, as a church, you would, Lord, just work in our lives. Lord, work in our hearts. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell for people. Lord, this is being who you've called us to be. This is one day us standing in front of you and giving an account for the church you have entrusted to us. This is serious, sobering stuff, Lord. And you have called us to this, to be the church, to be your agent of transformation in this community at this time. Lord, we commit it to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, we praise you, and we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed this morning.